Case number 423-101. Okay, could the parties please identify themselves for the record?
Good morning, Captain Douglas Sobe for Safeways.
And Ralph Sherman representing the appellant.
Okay, thank you both. Captain, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, this is a fairly clear case in my mind. The appellant discharged negligently his weapon in a restaurant bar establishment. The weapon luckily did not strike any people that were in that bar, but it did shatter a glass door. The appellant was intoxicated at the time of firing that weapon, and my evidence today through the testimony of the officer here will show that the appellant is unsuitable to possess a permit. Thank you.
Okay. Attorney Sherman, would you like to make an opening statement?
I'll pass, thank you.
Okay. Can I get the witness's name?
Yes, that was my next.
Thank you.
My witness today is Officer Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A, from Milford PD.
Thank you.
Okay, Captain, you may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to call Officer Rivera.
Okay.
Officer Rivera, could you tell me how long you've been employed by Milford PD?
I've been employed by Milford PD 8 years.
And did you have occasion to deal with a case involving the appellant?
Yes.
About when was that?
That was March 25th, 2022.
That's correct. thank you. could you please go through the events that transpired that evening?
On that evening, around 2 o'clock in the morning, I was dispatched to Anthony B's, located at 331 New Haven Avenue.
Could you just speak up a little bit, sir?
We
can't hear through the microphone. That's just for C-10,
sir. On the above date, at around 2 o'clock, 02 in the morning, I was dispatched to Anthony D's, located at 331 New Haven Avenue, for a shots fired call. En route to the scene, communications relayed that the suspect was a white male wearing a gray hoodie that went by the name Ron. As I arrived on scene, Officer Michael Brennan had already arrived. He observed a white vehicle attempting to leave. He made contact with it. He gave announcements for the individual to step out the vehicle and matched the description of the appellant. And he had him laying face down to the ground and started calling him to the sound of his voice. I asked the appellant if he had a weapon on him. He stated yes. I advised him not to reach for it. He was detained, placed in handcuffs. I retrieved a handgun, Ruger 380 LCP, out of his front right pocket. Officer Brennan was covering that pellet. I removed the magazine, let the slide to the rear. I observed the round eject. I placed the handgun and the magazine in the front seat of my vehicle. The pellet was then placed in Officer Brennan's vehicle. At that time, I read him his rights. He stated he understood. I asked him what happened. He stated that he accidentally shot the firearm. After he was detained, we went into the establishment and spoke to the witnesses. It was determined that the appellant did not intentionally discharge the weapon, but due to his state, he had a negligent discharge. So we transported him back to the booking of Milford PD and booked him according to our policy.
Thank you. And just to add some color to your own perspective, when you respond to a shots fired call, we have a hindsight is 20/20. You hear, we know that it was unintentional, but what's going through your mind when you respond to a call like that?
Public safety first. We didn't know who was what, you know, or just trying to figure out who shot the round. Is he in the scene? Did he leave the scene? Is anybody injured? At the time, we didn't know. I didn't know if anybody was injured.
So conceivably, anything could happen when you get there. There could be a individual ready to engage with you for the
yes.
firearm, correct?
Yes.
And is there a considerable risk to the public when that kind of scenario happens, when you're responding not knowing maybe that it was going to be an accidental discharge of a firearm, and you're prepared for anything in your mind, right? There could be significant stuff that happens from the police response, right?
Yes.
Okay. Was there any mitigating circumstances at all that you observed here to the, beyond it being accidental? Was there anything at all that the the appellant did to promote safety or avoid this event in your view?
Well, he should have never brought the weapon to a bar. Mm-hmm. He should not be carrying while he's intoxicated. All this could have been avoided if he just followed the rules. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me how the weapon was holstered or not holstered when you approached the appellant?
He had it in his front right pocket without a holster.
Without a holster. So in your training experience, can a weapon accidentally go off in that manner?
Yes.
Why do we holster weapons?
It's to protect the trigger from going off.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you.
Attorney Sherman Cross?
No questions. Thank you.
Does the board have questions?
So if you could kind of draw a picture of us here, where was the appellant and where did the bullet end up in the bar?
So he was in front of the bar speaking to apparently one of his friends. He removed it from his pocket, began to look at it, and you could see the round hit the floor and the glass break through the surveillance video that we watched.
Yeah, it was at the back door of the...
Yes.
And how far from the back, how far was he when the gun went off from the back door?
I would say maybe 20 feet.
So the bullet flew 20 feet through the bar and hit the floor at some point and went through the back door?
Yes, well, we searched the area because there's residents next to the bar, but we ended up finding the bullet in the ground next to the glass.
Thank you. And there were other patrons in the bar?
Yes, those employees.
Employees
only? So about, they closed at 02, so they must have shut down prior before.
Okay.
Usually it's a hangout, usually it's about 30 or 40 patrons during the weekend, during the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions by the board? Chief?
No, you can go ahead.
I just got it. So, when you got the call, it was from the bartender or somebody inside the bar? Or patron or?
I believe it was the bartender that called communications.
And the appellant didn't remain on scene, obviously. He was trying to leave the scene when you arrived?
Yes. He was in a white vehicle with the. Attempting to leave.
Okay. Was he sitting in the vehicle or was the vehicle moving?
He was sitting in the vehicle.
Okay. That's all I have.
Chief?
You described it as a negligent discharge.
I'm sorry?
You described it as a negligent discharge. Is that what you mean?
Yes, Chief.
To me, negligent means you failed to perceive any danger of what you're doing. Reckless is a conscious disregard for the danger. And you described you're in a bar, you're drinking, you're showing the gun. So am I correct that it's more than negligence, more like reckless?
Reckless, yes. Yes, Chief.
Okay. That's the way I understood it, but you used the term. So.
Chief, I'll take the credit for putting the wrong word in my witness's mind. I use the word negligent. I believe it was weird. May I ask one more follow-up question?
Yes.
Could you describe the state of intoxication of the appellant?
He was slurred speech. he had trouble balancing himself. Red eyes. I could smell the odor of beer. So that's
okay. Great. Thank you.
I guess I have one more. What was he charged with?
I'm sorry.
What was he charged with?
He was charged with, I believe, 53A, 203, Chief, illegal discharge of a firearm, 53A, 63, reckless endangerment in the first, 53206, Delta, illegal carry a firearm under the influence of drugs or alcohol, 53A, 181, breach of peace, and 53A, 117, criminal mischief, third.
And do you know what happened in court?
I don't.
Follow-up questions, Attorney Sherman?
No, thank you.
Any other witnesses, Captain?
No further witnesses.
Okay, Attorney Sherman, it's your case.
Thank you. I'd like to call the appellant, please.
Okay.
Well, you heard the testimony of the officer.
Yep.
How do you feel when you think back about what happened that night?
Horrible. Thankful that it hit no one. I just lost my wife 6 months prior. My kids are only one that, I'm the only one for them. Thankful the bullet didn't hit nobody that night, because it could change my life back, my kids' life. They just lost their mom. Now they're gonna, I have to go home and tell them that they're losing their dad.
Were you drunk at the time?
Yes.
Okay. Have you gotten drunk since then?
No, I'll get drunk, but I go out and have a couple beers on a Friday night, but not like that. That was in the beginning, like right after my wife passed. Kind of was like a wake up call.
So you still drink? You might go out on a Friday night?
Friday night, I have a couple beers.
Have two beers?
Yep.
You go to the same place?
Yep.
Did you pay for the damage?
Next day, went there and paid the $550 to the owner for the door.
And the owner's okay about you being there?
Yes.
You have a good relationship with them?
Yes.
You mentioned children. How many children do you have?
Two, 16 and 14 now.
Did you tell them about what happened?
I didn't want to tell them about what happened at first because I was more embarrassed until Facebook batch. They all found out about it, put it online, and we're on our family vacation, and the phone starts ringing. So then I had to tell them. It's not something you want to brag about to your kids.
How would you feel if you had to tell them about another incident like this in the future?
Horrible. I wouldn't want to.
Was your drinking heavily at that time, was there a connection between that and the loss of your wife?
I'd say so. I just started to go out.
So you were upset about that loss?
Yeah.
And you ever had any other gun accidents?
No.
Ever have any other accidents because you were under the influence?
No.
Not with a car?
No.
Power tool, nothing like that? Overall, is this an experience that you'd like to repeat?
No.
Okay. We heard the testimony, you had the gun out in your hand in the video.
Yes.
Why did you have the gun out?
I was just showing it to one friend. There's two employees there, and me and one other person at the bar. Maybe four people at most. It wasn't a packed bar. If I would have never pulled out if it was a packed bar. I know I shouldn't have had it being drunk. So I pulled out, he showed me a knife he had, so I was like, oh, I got this. And then accidentally went off. But it was always pointed away. If you can watch the surveillance tape, it was never pointed towards the person, always away from the person. That's why I hit the floor and hit the side patio door.
And at the time you discharged it, did you think that it was empty?
Yes.
Okay. So you had made some attempt to empty it, but
yes.
It was not an effective attempt, is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. If you had that night to do over, what would you do differently?
I would probably lock the gun in a car. So when I had the gun on me going to the out, I didn't plan on going to the bar, I was going shopping. And it was like a last minute thing, and I didn't realize I had it in the pocket till the end of the night when I went to go pay my tab. So I would never bring it into a bar.
Even though you don't get drunk, you still wouldn't bring it to a bar?
No, never again. I wouldn't even take it. I don't get drunk because I can't get another DUI. My older daughter don't like Ubers.
Are you working?
Not at this time.
What type of work do you normally do?
Tree work, spray work.
Okay. I have nothing further.
Thank you, Counsel. Captain and Cross?
No Cross.
Does the board have questions? We'll start with Attorney Sinetti.
Okay. The night the incident occurred, did you pull the trigger on that pistol?
Yes, so when I pulled that out of my pocket, I usually clear a chamber. I first take the magazine out, but being under influence, I forgot to take the magazine out, so I loaded it. And even if it's empty, I know I don't have a bolt in the chamber, I always pull the trigger away from the person I'm handing the gun to. So I did pull the trigger.
You did pull the trigger?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I ask, I've got to say this, I was president and chief operating officer of Ruger when we brought that pistol out, okay? And the only way it can fire is if you pull the trigger.
And I did have a holster. It was just a pocket holster. It was a flat one. It wasn't a regular holster. It's one that goes in your pocket.
Okay.
So I thought when the cops gave the gun back to my uncle, we lost it, but actually it was at my house for all the evidence.
And you also said you didn't know that there was a round in the chamber when you pulled the trigger.
Yes.
You know, I don't know whether you know or not, but with that design of that pistol, we made sure that there were safety mechanisms. A portion of the chamber is relieved, so you can actually see a cartridge in the chamber.
Yes.
You didn't check or didn't see it.
Well, I know the reason is because I missed the most important step, was taking the magazine out.
So the fact
that I don't even keep one in the chamber usually, but I always double check that.
So, and I'm not trying to unload on you.
No, I understand.
But so you didn't clear the chamber, you didn't look to see whether there was a round in the chamber, you reversed the procedure as to how to unload the gun, and then you pulled the trigger.
I missed the first step.
There's a couple of mistakes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
If I could just ask a question quick to clarify, I think. So what you actually did do that night is?
Load the gun.
You did nothing with the magazine. You racked the slide with the magazine in it.
Yes.
Thereby putting a round in the chamber.
Yes.
And then you squeezed the trigger.
Yes.
So that's how it occurred.
Okay, thanks.
So we're not in any way blaming the firearm.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, no. It's my fault. I take blame for it. Okay.
Thank you.
How long did you have your permit when this incident occurred?
I've had it for a little bit. I'm not sure because I didn't buy guns right away. Maybe 2-3 years. But I didn't buy a gun right away when I got the permit. I waited because I had kids. And then when I did purchase the guns from Hoffman's, I bought the safe right away with the fingerprints and the code, so.
Yep, so you had 2 or 3 years.
Two or three years, somewhere around there.
Yep. You stated you forgot you had your firearm on you until you went to pay.
Well, I went to go shopping. It's small, so it could fit in your pocket. You don't even know it's there in back of your money clip. It just slipped my mind. And then I went to pay, and I realized it was there. And I was like,
that's a little, you know.
Well, it's small.
I understand that.
If I knew it was in my pocket, and then I wouldn't even walked in a bar with it.
And you said, right, you were answering one of the questions. You said you can't afford another DUI?
No, because I got one DUI. I don't want another DUI.
Yeah, when was that connected to this case?
Yes.
Okay.
They gave me a DUI because they see me in the car,
with the motor running. Okay, so that was
part of this case. Know was a thing. I haven't been out in 23 years. I was married, so I had no idea that you couldn't sit in the car with it running. I thought you just couldn't drive.
Yep.
I didn't.
No, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
When you said another DUI, it was one if there's another
incident. No, just once. Because my daughter, she's 16, she don't like taking Ubers, so it's hard finding her rides everywhere.
Did you take did you take a sobriety test when you got to the PD?
I didn't take it because the officer, he said that if you did take it and you failed it, which we all knew I was drunk, you'd lose your license for 120 days. But if you did, and if you refused it, you only lose it for 45 days. So I was like, well, the better option to me sounds like going for the 45 days. But they didn't say how you'd have the blower in your car for a year rather than the 6 months. I learned that the hard way afterwards. So obviously the clearer, easier part is to take the sobriety test next time, the blower.
I have nothing else.
Were you leaving the bar?
I was just sitting in my car by the time. Like, if I wanted to leave, I had plenty of time. I could have left. They could have traced it back to me easily if they got the round, the bullet. I knew that.
So your attempt was to stay on scene?
Yeah, I was just sitting in the car with it running. I didn't know that would be a DUI. I was outside playing with my phone in the car, which I see a lot of people do at the bar. They sit in their car, they sober up for hours.
Who's Terry?
I don't know. You mean Tara, maybe? The bar owner?
Someone at the bar?
Tara.
Okay.
Owns the bar.
They asked you, did you shoot your gun?
No, because she wasn't there.
And you have to get the hell out of here?
No, there's no Terry there.
Okay.
There's a Tara that owns the bar.
Okay.
So you were in your car,
right in the front of the building, right at the
car
front door.
Running, but you didn't intend to leave at that time.
I was just sitting there because I was drunk. I was trying to put the heat on, looking at my phone.
You were looking at your phone, but I thought you found, oh, you found the gun when you went to pay the tab?
Paid it, and, yeah, when I paid the tab, when they're closing, because I went, my money clip, it sits in back of my pocket where my money clip was.
Oh, okay. So the bar was closing?
Closed, the bar was closed, 2 o'clock they closed, there's four people there, two of them were workers.
So it was just not your intent to drive away because you were drunk?
No.
Okay, I see.
I think the report also says the reverse lights are on, so I'm not sure.
I don't remember the reverse lights being on.
Any other questions by anybody?
If you didn't think you had the gun or didn't know you had the gun, where'd you think it was?
I didn't realize I still had it on me when I went in the bar.
Well, that's what I mean, but where did you think it was?
I wouldn't even think about it, honestly.
So you really lost track of the gun?
It was always in my pocket, but I never thought about where it was at that time. Like, when I entered the bar, I didn't realize I was entering the bar with it in my pocket.
So when you entered a bar, you didn't think you had a gun?
Yes.
Where did you think it was?
At home, in the safe. I always keep them in the safe.
What time did you leave the house? What time did you leave for the bar?
Maybe 6 o'clock. I was never intending on going to the bar. I went shopping first.
All right, but
Walmart.
You must have taken the gun out of the safe.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Driven away. What time was that?
I don't know. 6 o'clock, maybe in the evening.
All right, what time did you get to the bar?
8:39.
And how long were you there?
Until 2 o'clock.
Did you drink before you got to the bar?
No.
Only drank there?
The first stop was at that bar.
For a few hours, right?
Yeah, never drank at all. I was out shopping.
All right, touch down a little bit, but when was the last time you were drunk?
Drunk? I don't really get drunk. I have a few beers now when I get out, but I had a few beers last Thursday in SeaWorld in Florida when we're on vacation.
Okay, what's a few beers to you?
3 beers I had there.
Okay. How about prior to that?
Prior to that, I go out, I have 2 beers.
As a result of this incident, were you required to do alcohol education?
Yes,
training?
They had me, the board, they had me go to, like, the courts had me go to alcohol. And they determined I wasn't an alcoholic. It was just a sad accident that happened.
Well, not really an accident. It's more
neglect on my part,
you
yes.
You took a lot of steps to make this happen and ultimately
yes.
Turned out to be a bad thing. And in the scheme of things, it could have been a whole lot worse. So.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Other questions? Any other witnesses?
No, but I'd like to ask Bill more redirectly.
Sure.
If you go back to that bar now, or when you go back to that bar now, which you do, right? You might be there from what, 8? Give me some time.
Say 8:39 to 12.
And?
2 beers.
And you think you'd have 2 beers over
yep.
That period of time. Okay. So, you haven't driven drunk since that time?
No, I can't afford to.
And you didn't drive drunk before that time, correct?
No.
And it's your intention to avoid driving drunk?
Yes.
Okay. I have nothing further.
After that. You say you don't drive drunk, and the definition of drunk is kind of, it depends on the person. But you do go to the bar, have a couple beers, and then drive.
Yes.
What's the most you've had and then driven since this incident?
I have 2 beers. That's it.
Beers.
I won't drive. I can't afford to. I got my kids I got to take care of.
Yeah, but do you think that's a good idea? A couple beers.
Over the course of 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah, once you start playing that, you're putting yourself out there. You're putting yourself in
yeah,
your
I see what you're saying.
At great
yes.
Risk. Better decision would be no.
Yes.
Everybody all set with questions?
Have you taken any additional safety courses since your permit was revoked?
No, I haven't.
All set with questions? I think you said no other witnesses, Attorney Sherman?
That's correct.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, I would, please. You know what, I think I'll jump in where Dr. Conrad just commented or questioned about safety courses. I don't think that the appellant is in need of taking another class. I think he knows what he did. He knows that he shouldn't have been handling a firearm or carrying a firearm when he was under the influence, but he also knows mechanically as far as what happened with his firearm and why it was dischargeable at the time that he discharged it. we don't really have any dispute, as the board can tell, about the facts of what happened. The question is about going forward. I think the issue is whether we have somebody here who learned a lesson from it. And I think we do. I think the chief's point is well taken about drinking and driving. On the other hand, a person, average adult size, who has two drinks over the course of 4 hours, 2 years over the course of 4 hours, is not legally intoxicated.
I'll just interject. As a normal person, may be different than someone with this history.
I'm talking about his physical size.
Taking the risk of
doing that.
That's where my
guess. Yeah, you know, between 150 to 200 pounds. But in any case, I think that he's committed to not getting intoxicated again, not getting charged with a drunk driving, and not driving drunk, and definitely not carrying his firearm in a bar, let alone handling his firearm or carrying it while he's under the influence. He stated in his own way, he has a lot to lose. He knows he has a lot to lose. His kids have a lot to lose if he were to get into this type of trouble again. And he knows that he was lucky that the trouble wasn't more serious than it did turn out to be, breaking the glass. He paid for the damage. He put himself on good terms with the people at the establishment. They seemed to trust him. And I doubt that just because of the $20 he might spend on a Friday night. I'm sure if they felt that, you know, you were a threat, they wouldn't let him back in the place. There's no doubt that the discharge was not something he intended. He intended to squeeze the trigger on what he believed was an empty firearm. Obviously, it wasn't. So I think that moving forward, the question is whether this is somebody who would be safe in the future. And I think that he's demonstrated that he has an appropriate attitude and that he learned a number of practical lessons from this, and it's not going to happen again. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Captain?
Thank you. As Attorney Cennetti alluded to, and Chief Rosenzweig as well, there were a number of failures here that were sequential in firearms handling 101, right? We had not knowing where your weapon was when you go out, right? Losing track of it, not having the weapon holstered properly, going to a bar with the weapon, trying to display the weapon to another person in public, being intoxicated and possessing that weapon, firing that weapon negligently, causing a bullet to travel approximately 20 feet across a bar, which could have had people in it, so there were some people there, and shattering a window. This is the most, Attorney Sherman alluded to training, this is the most terrifying training possible that I can imagine, right? And there's a reason why we have the training that we do. We do not train by making a mistake and firing off a weapon in public where somebody could have died, right? That in itself is enough to, at this time, allow the appellant to possess a firearm in public. And I would ask the board to consider all those basic failures and the extreme circumstances of this event in making their decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Brief factual.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services Public Protection. The revocation is for suitability. The basis of the denial of the revocation incident occurred on March 25th, 2022. Milford Police Department responded to a bar at approximately 2 a.m. on that date for a shots fired call. When they arrived, the appellant was detained in his vehicle by the police department. He was taken into custody while they were investigating it, and he admitted to having a loaded handgun on his person. It was found in a the appellant claims or testified that he had his handgun in a pocket holster in his front pants pocket. Upon investigation, it was learned that the appellant was in the bar. The appellant admitted that he was intoxicated. The appellant admitted to taking the he stated he forgot he had his firearm until he went to pay his tab. Took the handgun out to show it to another patron of the bar. He failed to remove the magazine of his handgun, wrapped around into it, thinking he had cleared it, pointed the firearm to the ground, pulled the trigger. The round went approximately 20 feet, skipped the floor, hit a door, shattering the glass. The video showed that that there's video showing that how that occurred.
Thank you. Comments by the board? Colonel.
The only thing, everything's pretty much been said, except you're in the report, or at least, again, as the captain alluded to initially, the police department responded with multiple units. I believe it was at least two other patrons were taking at gunpoint, you know, proned out, because they didn't know what they had. They had to investigate to determine who exactly was the person that had shot. Not only did it put, you know, the police risk, put those patrons at risk, you know, being placed on the ground. You know, officers discussed in their case reports, you know, deploying their patrol rifles. One of the patrons who was released had brass knuckles and a knife on them, all because of this incident. And the appellant, he didn't call 911 and say, I had a negligent discharge, I'm standing in the bar. That might have tempered the response of the police a little bit, but at least they know who they were responding to. Maybe it toned that down and placed others in jeopardy a little bit.
Other comments? Attorney Sinnity?
Yeah, the appellant is, I think, a decent, honest person. He's been forthright with us. I think he has learned his lesson from this. However, letting off a round in a bar, I think, certainly justifies revocation of a permit at this time. And you know, perhaps in the future, if this is revisited, that could be reconsidered. But it's a pretty serious occurrence, and I know he realizes that. So that's going to color my decision.
Any other comments?
Just as far as personally, very sorry for the loss of your wife, but that's, you know, that's very understandable, and concern for your children and things too. So.
Okay. Which way did I go last time? Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority at this time.
Attorney Sinnity.
Issuing authority at this time.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturk.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.